Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, it's time for us to open our Bibles this morning. And we are going to be starting in Luke chapter 6 to begin with. I'm calling this message today, Christian Kindness. Christian Kindness. We know that this country right now is going through a terrible struggle, and indeed most of the world is. There's this pandemic and so many other things that are going wrong, and people are pretty cranky about it. I don't know if you've noticed. And a lot of people have what they call COVID fatigue, which is understandable because this disease has been around. Well, it's been here since even really, if you stop and look at it, if you look at all the facts, it was likely here before this year even started, but it was far less noticeable. And then, of course, it really came to our focus and attention in March. But, you know, it's been around a while, and it doesn't seem to be going anywhere. And, of course, right now they say it's absolutely surging in Wisconsin. In fact, Wisconsin is the number 3 state as far as fastest spread behind California and Texas. It's all over the place, and I mean, I can attest to that. My sister has it, and my nephew and my sister-in-law's parents. It does seem to be spreading, so I do advise everyone to be as careful as you can be and don't make any stupid decisions, and I don't think I need to tell any of you to stay out of the bars. But just in case, stay out of the bars. They say that that's one of the greatest spreaders of it, and it makes sense, too, because people get very, they're in close quarters, they get inebriated, they lose all control, and it spreads, so that's understandable. So, but yeah, you know, you look at what's happening now, and people are getting mean, and what makes it even worse is we're in an election season, and that is always terrible. You know, people get mean, nasty, ornery, ugly to one another. And, you know, on Facebook, there's this Beaver Dam chatter group where people from the town come together and talk. And they're always arguing and fighting over politics on that group. And there's a bunch of people who go out by the overpass on Burnett Street over Highway 151 and they wave Trump flags. So every time somebody posts a picture of that on a group, there are people who are like, yeah, Trump 2020, and others who are just throwing a fit. Of course, we know Trump right now, he has COVID too. I was reading about that, and it sounds like they were very concerned about him on Friday. They moved him to Walter Reed Medical Center on Friday. His breathing and oxygen saturation was very poor, and they were very concerned. It seemed like he was doing a lot better on Saturday, yesterday, but from what I understand, you know, I was reading an article, and on Friday, he was just, you know, suddenly the most powerful man in this country was just very deeply afraid. And I'm sure he felt very vulnerable, but his aides said he kept asking them if he was going to die. He did put out a video yesterday, and it looks like he was doing a lot better. They've been giving him some experimental treatments and therapeutics and so forth. So anything they have in their arsenal, I'm sure they'll use. But, you know, I'm hoping that actually maybe what this will do is humble him, and I hope that he'll seek God. I can really hope that that will be the case. But, you know, politics, they bring out the worst in everybody. All this fighting and arguing and so forth, and nobody wants to get along, and it's never been this bad before. I saw an article the other day in The Atlantic, and you can't necessarily believe everything The Atlantic says because they do sometimes quote anonymous sources, which could come from anywhere, but this article is very interesting. It was very lengthy. It was almost like a short book, but they were talking about how there are actually thousands of Americans, and they put the number at about 25,000 who are at the ready, and a lot of them are soldiers, former soldiers, law enforcement, former law enforcement, who are ready to fight a civil war if need be. So this country is in a very precarious and dangerous situation right now. And especially now with the president being in his condition, if you were an enemy of the United States and you were looking for an opportunity to seize and to attack, now would be the time, wouldn't it? This country has not been this vulnerable in a long, long, long time. But you know what? We need to be kind. to each other. In fact, there was never one more kind than our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to look at in Luke chapter 6. He was so kind. And I'm calling this message Christian kindness because we should strive to be like our Savior. If He was kind, we should be kind. If we're going to go around calling ourselves Christians. And what's really even more important in calling yourself a Christian is that other people look at you and say, that's a Christian. In fact, they were first called Christians at Antioch. They didn't go around calling themselves Christians. Other people saw them, and they could tell that they had a relationship with Jesus Christ because of the way they behaved and the love that they had for one another. In fact, Jesus said that we would be known by the love we have for each other. It is one of the traits and the characteristics of a Christian. And there was no one more kind than the Lord Jesus. We're going to look at Luke chapter 6. But before we do that, we're going to pray one more time. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this morning and thank Thee for Thy goodness, for Thy mercy, for Thy grace, and we thank Thee for Thy kindness towards us. We thank Thee for Thy gift of salvation, Thy wondrous plan of salvation, for Thou hast given us far more than we deserve, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that Thou would help each and every one of us to be mindful of Thee. Help us to be firmly focused on Thee. We pray, Lord, that Thy Spirit would be upon all Thy people and instill in us Thy kindness, Lord, so that we may be kind to others. We pray, O God, that there would be no hindrances here this morning, but we bind and we break any force of darkness or any hindering power that would come against us, knowing full well that Thou art sovereign, that there is none greater than Thee, and that there's no name greater than that mighty name of Jesus, Lord. We pray, O God, that Thou would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts that would perceive and understand, and we pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. You know, when you live in hard times, and we live in very hard times right now. It's about to get a lot worse. A lot of people are losing their jobs presently because the airlines are laying off a lot of people. Hotels are shutting down and closing up, and a lot of hotel workers are losing their jobs too. Restaurants are in terrible shape. In fact, the new newsletter should be out, and that's another miracle, by the way, too, because I was having trouble with my eye the entire time, but the Lord helped me to write it anyway, and it was very difficult. In fact, that was one of the hardest newsletters I've ever written, and I think it was also one of the longest newsletters I've ever written. I used every line on that newsletter. There was no space left, but praise God He got me through it, and we ended up mailing it a day late, but we mailed it, and it's out, so praise God for that. But there is so much happening in this country right now. People are in a lot of trouble. And the thing about hard times is they bring out the best in kind people, but they also bring out the worst in wicked people. And we're seeing both things happen at the same time. I remember back in the spring when there were all these shortages and you went to the grocery store and the shelves were bare. It was very disconcerting. And of course, that could happen again, depending on how things pan out, but that very well could happen again. Of course, nobody could get toilet paper. There was this huge toilet paper shortage, and we'd never seen anything like that before. But I saw this video online, and there was this woman at a store, and she was greedily throwing these enormous packages of toilet paper into her cart. I think she had four of them, and there was one left on the shelf, and this elderly woman wanted to grab it. She started to take it, and this woman who was hawking all the toilet paper tried to wrench it out of her hands and take it away from her, but thankfully there were some guys who came along and put a stop to that, and they made sure that this elderly woman was able to buy that toilet paper. But people's behavior can be so sickening sometimes. And I've also seen other stories, though, of people who, there's one man who stood outside a Walmart store and was handing out toilet paper to people who couldn't find it. And, you know, I thought that was very kind. We need to be kind. And believe me, there's going to be many opportunities to be kind right now because people are going to need help. More so than we can imagine. We don't know everything that's going to happen, but it is rough out there and getting rougher. So, Luke chapter 6. And we're going to start with verse 1 this morning. And it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first that he went through the cornfields and his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands.
And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, Why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days?
You know, the problem with the Pharisees is that they were very legalistic. Well, this was one of their problems. They had a lot. They were very legalistic, and they were not at all kind. They had no empathy for other people. And, you know, in their mind, well, it's the Sabbath day, so if you're hungry, too bad. You can't pluck that corn. But here we're going to see that God sees people's intent. God will make exceptions to the rules sometimes. If you're hungry, if you need food, He'll provide ways for you to get it. And I don't think this is any huge thing anyway, that they were plucking a little corn. But, of course, these Pharisees were nitpicking, as they did so often. That's another thing that unkind people do. They nitpick, and they like to tear people to pieces. Every little thing, just tear it apart. And the Pharisees, they were exceptional at that. But Jesus is going to remind them of an example in the Old Testament when they were fully under the Old Covenant. Verse 3, And Jesus answering them said, Have ye not read so much as this, what David did when himself was a-hungered, and they which were with him? How he went into the house of God and did take and eat the showbread, and gave also to them that were with him, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priest alone. Here he is reminding them of something that David did. He greatly respected, revered David. They were so proud of David, and here he's reminding them, hey, David did something that technically, he wasn't supposed to do, but God allowed it because he was hungry. And that showbread may have very well saved his life. He needed something to eat. And that's all there was. There wasn't anything else. So God allowed this. It didn't cause an offense to him. And you know how I know God wasn't offended at the fact that he ate the showbread? Jesus is mentioning it right here. And people get a little confused sometimes. They don't realize that Jesus Christ is God, and in fact, the same God of the Old Testament. And people sometimes say, well, I don't like reading the Old Testament very much. God is too mean in the Old Testament, you know. But it's the same God. He's the same in the Old and the New. He was merciful and kind in the Old Testament, too. God is long-suffering. Now, that doesn't mean that His patience never runs out. He's long-suffering. But that long-suffering comes to an end eventually. We all run out of time. But He does give us opportunities to repent. So many opportunities. So many chances. Far more than we deserve. And as long as you're alive, as long as you're living, as long as you're breathing, as long as your heart is beating, you still have an opportunity to repent and come to the Lord. Praise God. So here Jesus is reminding them of what David did. And in verse 5 he tells them, And he said unto them that the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Did I read verse 4? I think I should read verse 4. How he went into the house of God and did take and eat the showbread and gave also to them that were with him, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priest alone. And he said unto them that the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Verse 5 sounds better if you read it with verse 4, because you get the full context. And verse 6, And it came to pass on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught, and there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, and that they might find an accusation against him. These were not kind people. And when you have religious leaders who are not kind, your religious structure is in a lot of trouble. But they were so unkind. They didn't care about this man and his plight and the fact that his hand was withered. But Jesus saw this man. He had compassion on him. He was going to heal this man, whether they liked it or not. And of course, we can guess, if you hadn't read the story before, and I'm sure most of you have,
You could guess that they weren't going to like it. Verse 8, but he knew their thoughts and said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? I'm going to tell you something right now. It is lawful to do good every day of the week. Praise the Lord.
Praise.
So let's look at what he did here. Verse 10. And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored, whole as the other. Now that's kindness. God saw this man. He knew that this man needed help. So he helped him. Just as he did time and time and time again. There were so many stories when Jesus healed someone who desperately needed it. And that is the kindness of our Savior. But these people were so religious, so legalistic, so filled with spite. They had no compassion for this man. They would have preferred that he keep suffering. But when you look at this story and you look at what happened here, this man didn't even do anything that would go against the Sabbath day anyway. Because in their mind, they said, well, you can't do work on the Sabbath day. All Jesus told this man to do was stretch out his arm. Now, you can't tell me that the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees and the chief priests didn't stretch out their arms on the Sabbath day. That is all Jesus told this man to do, because that is all it took. Because that is the power of God. And when he stretched out his arm in faith, that is when he was healed. Praise God. It wasn't even really work, if you stop and think about it. But they were hopping mad. In fact, verse 11 tells us, and they were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. You know, they got so fed up with the miracles of Jesus. Time and time again, he helped people. And every time he helped people, that was a great witness, and more people would follow Jesus. And for a time, there was a great number of people who were following Jesus. Of course, some of those people were just curious. They wanted to see what he would do next. Some of them wanted the free bread because he fed the 5,000. And they wanted to see if he could do another miracle like that. And who knows, he may have done it more than once. We don't know. We know he had at least two miracles where he fed thousands of people at a time, but there could have been well more than that. People were observing these miracles, but he was always kind when people asked for help. So, these people were so angry, they were filled with madness. And we know that the last thing Jesus did that absolutely convinced them that they had to kill Jesus was that he raised Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus had been dead. Jesus lifted him out of that grave. 3 days had already passed. And he would have levitated out of that grave because they had him bound hand and foot. There's no way he could have walked out of there. So he must have been floating in the air. But that is the power of God. And of course, they loosed him and let him go, and he was alive. And that's great kindness, too. Oh, talk about kindness. But they were so happy mad after that that they determined, we have to kill this guy. They got tired of his miracles. They would rather have their dead religion. And people were in such hopeless situations until Jesus came along. And that's how the Pharisees wanted to keep it. Why? Because even though they were living in a hopeless situation, these chief priests and the Pharisees, they were very well known and very well respected and revered men. And of course, people would bring their money into the temple.
which was, I think, probably their biggest concern. They wanted to keep that money flowing, but they wouldn't even just take regular money, you know. And they said, well, you can't put the Roman coins in there. They have Caesar's image on it. So you have to exchange that for temple money and then donate the temple money. Boy, what a scam. Before you can put money in the temple collection, you have to buy our special money. And, of course, you can be sure there was an exchange rate on that, and they came out ahead on every transaction. Jesus was so angry at that that he went in there and he overthrew the money changers' tables because he does not like dishonesty and unjust weights and scales and balances. So he went and he overthrew those money changers. In fact, he did it twice. But these Pharisees were such wicked people. They couldn't even rejoice over the fact that this man who was in such dire straits, he had an arm, he had a hand he could not use, it was withered. But God helped him. And every time God helps someone, that should be a cause to rejoice. But they wouldn't do it. And instead they were filled with madness. Yes, some people are kind, and some people have no kindness in them. These Pharisees were not kind. Verse 12 tells us, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles, Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. Of course, he gathered his disciples. He had the 12 disciples, who were also the 12 apostles, but those were not the only disciples. You can read about how he sent out his disciples to go to heal the sick and cast out devils and share the gospel message. And then later he sent out 70 more. Praise God. And he is still sending people out. Praise the Lord. Verse 17. And he came down with them and stood in the plain and the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Now, people might read this and think, well, isn't this actually the Sermon on the Mount? No, this one's the Sermon on the Plain. It's very similar to the Sermon on the Mount, but this was a different sermon that he preached, and the content is very similar. But I have a feeling that Jesus perhaps preached a similar message many times. We don't have a record of every sermon he ever preached. And in fact, if everything he ever did was recorded in a book, we wouldn't be able to read it all. There would be so much because he did so much. Now, in this situation, this is a Sermon on the Plain. But before he started teaching his sermon, he showed kindness to this multitude of people who came from all over the place. Verse 18, and they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. Oh yes, that is the power of God's healing virtue. And we need his healing virtues to flow sometimes. When we're not feeling good, when we're unwell, we need those healing virtues. But he is able to do it. And you have to believe that he's willing to do it because we know that he is a kind and compassionate Savior. Verse 20. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. You know, there are some people in this world who it looks like they don't have very much. Some people are very poor. Some people are getting even poorer in this day and age. And there are billionaires who are growing in wealth even as this pandemic rages on. Some of these men have gained billions upon billions upon billions of dollars, tremendous amounts of money, since the pandemic began. And just because they perhaps happen to own Amazon.com, and people don't want to go to the stores, so they're ordering vast amounts of merchandise from that website, and someone's wealth is growing exponentially there, and all of these billionaires, it seems like they're growing in wealth. But you know what? If you don't know Jesus, you're far poorer than those who do. It doesn't matter how many billions you have. You can't take it with you anyway. I want treasures in heaven. I want treasures that are going to last. And you can't buy those. They are the gift of God. Praise the Lord. So just because someone might look poor, maybe they have raggedy clothes, maybe they drive a junker car, well, the important thing is, how is their relationship with Jesus? Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Oh yes, when you go through hard times, and he's talking to people here who were perhaps going through difficult times, he's telling them, it's going to get better. Those of you who are hungry, you will be filled. Those of you who are weeping, you will laugh. Verse 22, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. People are mean anyway. And even if you're not a Christian, they're probably going to find a reason to pick at you and find fault. So if they're going to pick at you and find fault, it might as well be because you're a Christian who loves the Lord. That's the best reason for it. And just remember, if you're ever around people and they start gossiping and talking about someone else and maybe getting a little nasty, just remember that when you're not around, they're probably talking about you to whoever they happen to be around. Because that's how gossipers are. If they talk about others, they'll talk about you the same way. They might even pretend to be your friend. But people have this tendency to be very nasty. We need to follow the example of Jesus Christ and be kind one to another. So don't be surprised if people hate you. And we see there's so much nastiness right now towards the Christian people, and especially from the left and the Democrats, and they really hate Christians. Well, a lot of them even claim to be Christian, but the way they treat others, it certainly would seem that they're not. And it's hard to bear sometimes. There's a lot of heaviness in the world right now. And we see, you know, the things that they value. Of course, they're very concerned and upset right now because Trump nominated Amy Coney Barrett for the Supreme Court. She's pro-life, and they want to keep doing their abortion. I tell you what, I can't think of anything more reprehensible and unkind than abortion. And, you know, in my mind, I can't think of a reason to justify it. It's not necessary. You know, I understand sometimes there are certain situations that are very difficult for women, and I'm not without empathy. If you really, truly feel like you can't raise your child, there are other couples out there who would be very happy to do it for you. You know, some folks can't have children of their own. And it is heartbreaking that so many women just kill their babies. There's no reason for it. I'm not saying they should be forced to raise a child if they can't, but there are other ways to solve that problem. But, you know, if you oppose abortion, they'll hate you for that. And say it's women's right. Reproductive health, it's not health. That has nothing to do with health. But that's one of the reasons they'll hate Christians, because we are pro-life. We know that life is valuable, that life is important. And, of course, one lie they like to tell, I've heard this so many times, they say, well, Christians only care about the unborn, and after they're born, they don't care about those children anymore. That is such a lie. You know, I've seen people who are very, very kind to children and those in need. So that lie does not hold up. But that's what they like to say, as if that would justify abortion anyway. Nothing justifies it. But if you don't go along with what they're doing, they'll hate you for it. Verse 23, "Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets." When they hate you because you love Jesus, Jesus said your reaction should be to rejoice and to leap for joy. If they're going to hate you, let them hate you because you love Jesus. Praise God. And if that's the reason for it, then by all means rejoice. Verse 24, "But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation." For some people, that money is all they have. It's all they ever have.
Amen.
And when they die, they will be destitute and poor, entering into eternity, going to a place where their billions aren't going to matter, because you cannot buy your way out of hell. You can't stand before the throne of Jesus Christ and offer to donate $100 billion to try to buy your way out of the flames of hell. That's not going to work. Their money isn't going to save them. "Woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." You know, it's interesting here, because what Jesus is really telling us is if everybody likes you, and everybody has nothing but good things to say about you all the time, and if worldly people are the same way, if worldly people love you and love being around you, then something's not right. Because there should actually be a separation there. People who love the devil and his ways aren't going to love you and the things that you do. And one of the reasons they hate Christian people so much, it's not so much for what you do, but for what you refuse to do, for what you refuse to go along with. They'll hate you for that. But if everybody out there just speaks well of you, that is a red flag. That's a warning sign. "Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you." People are going to do that. They are going to despitefully use you. They might try to curse you, but just remember something. If you belong to the Lord Jesus, you cannot be cursed. You cannot curse what God has blessed. So let them try. It's not going to accomplish anything. In fact, when witches try to put the hex on a Christian, their hex comes back on them. "Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you." You know, sometimes that's difficult to do when people are troubling you, when they're mean to you. You know, sometimes you might have a coworker who's just always causing trouble, and you might want to go out and knock their block off. Well, you're not supposed to do that. In fact, what we really need to do is pray for them, which despitefully use you. And sometimes people might even tell terrible lies about you. That's human nature. But pray for them. Verse 29, "And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also." Of course, one of the things they would do back here when they were challenging you to a duel is they would go and smite you on the cheek. That's what Jesus here is referencing. It doesn't necessarily mean that you can't defend yourself. This isn't a prohibition against self-defense. But when someone tries to antagonize you and challenge you to a duel to the death, you don't have to participate in that. In fact, you shouldn't.
And unto them that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And to him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. You know, people might at times give things to other people, but a lot of times when people do that, they're doing it because they're hoping that person will owe them a favor later. You know, a little quid pro quo. What can I get out of this? They like to store up favors for later. Here Jesus is telling us to give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. In other words, he's telling us to give without expecting anything in return. That is the Christian way. Verse 31, and as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. That's called the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That is kindness at work. And we need that now more than ever. I tell you what, they talk about systemic racism in this country. And some people are racist. I've seen it. I know that some people are. But the fact of the matter is, if everybody would embrace verse 31 in Luke chapter 6, that would take care of racism in its entirety. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Your skin color doesn't make you any better than anyone else. And I know some people think that they're better than everyone else because they have white skin. But there are also people who think they're better than everybody else because they have black skin. You know, it's possible for black people to be racist too. I know sometimes the liberals say, well, they can't be racist. Only white people can be racist. What a racist statement. I mean, come on. That is nonsense. So if everybody followed this golden rule and treated people the way they would like to be treated, that would take care of it. It would take care of all prejudice and racism. Here, Jesus gave us a solution all the way back here, and they're still trying to figure it out. Read the Bible. It has the answers. This book has the answers. Verse 32, for if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. Oh, it's easy to do nice things for people you like. It's a little more difficult to do nice things for people you don't like. But Jesus here is telling us that we're supposed to do it. Verse 34, and if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Oh, God is very kind. And yes, he's kind to the sinners too. People might ask sometimes, well, didn't God create hell? And don't sinners go to hell? So how could he possibly be a kind and loving and benevolent God? And by the way, that's what the word kind means, of a good or benevolent nature or disposition. And in case you're wondering what benevolent means, it's characterized by expressing goodwill or kindly feeling, desiring to help others, charitable. It's good to define our terms. But people might ask, well, if God made hell, how could he be kind? How could he possibly be kind? We need to remember that hell is the default destination of fallen man. Yes. Everyone, before they come to Jesus, is on their way to hell. But it was his act of kindness to bring us out, to save us, to get us on the straight and narrow road, to save us from our sins, that set us on the proper path. And that is the greatest kindness that anyone could show you ever. No one has to go to hell. And like I said, as long as you're alive and breathing, you still have an opportunity to repent. But he is so patient with people. He gives people so many opportunities to repent, and that is kindness. You know, you look at some of these people,
these very wicked and evil people, the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and these various elites, and they lived to be very old sometimes. Sometimes they lived to be well into their 90s, even past 100 sometimes. And they've lived so long, and maybe God is actually giving them more opportunities to repent. It's a very sad thing when they don't, but He does give people opportunities to repent. Yes, He's kind. He's kind to everyone, whether they know it or not. Verse 36, be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Praise God. We're going to look at Romans chapter 12 now. The Apostle Paul was a man who experienced many trials, and we've talked about those before, the way he was whipped and scourged and beaten and shipwrecked and stoned. Oh yes, he was always persecuted. Everywhere he went, there were people stirring up trouble. And eventually he found himself standing before Caesar in Rome. He went through a lot. But despite everything he went through, he never lost his Christian kindness. And in this chapter, in Romans chapter 12, he is going to advise us to maintain our Christian kindness. The word Christian means Christ-like. So if you're going to proclaim that you're a Christian, if you want to be Christ-like, that requires us to be kind. Let's look at Romans chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, we don't offer animal sacrifices anymore. It would be an abomination to do so. But you can offer yourself as a living sacrifice, working for God in any way that you can. And we offer Him sacrifices of praise and of worship. That is far better anyway. I wouldn't want to have to sacrifice animals. I don't understand why anybody would want to go back to that. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God's power and His Spirit working in you will transform you to the uttermost. And we all need to be transformed. I know right now this country is in so much trouble and people are filled with anxiety and fear. They're depressed. A lot of them are getting drunk. They're doing drugs. They're taking antidepressants and various medications, trying to do whatever they can to forget their problems and their troubles. But nothing can fill the void in your life like the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Nothing can make you feel as good as God's Spirit. Praise the Lord. Oh, we need to not be conformed to this world. And when you're not conformed to this world, then you can be transformed. Then your mind can be renewed. And we can look at all these sad things that are happening. Yes, it's very sad to see all that, but you don't have to let your heart be troubled. Just keep believing in God. Praise the Lord. It's not that big of a surprise anyway. We knew all these things were going to happen. It's in the Bible. We knew it was going to happen. Perhaps, you know, so much time passed that we never really thought it would happen so quickly, but a lot has changed. Nevertheless, even amidst this trouble, we can have renewed minds. And we need those renewed minds so that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say to the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. You know, we're not going to have a hierarchy in this church. We're not going to elevate one person above other people. Because no one here is any better than anyone else, and we need to remember that. We can never act like we're better than anyone else in this church. We shouldn't think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. And Christians should never be proud, by the way. Verse 4.
For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on the ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. We all have a role to play in God's kingdom. And we may not all serve the exact same function, but we all have a role to play. And if you don't know what yours is, seek God, He'll reveal it to you. Verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. In other words, it needs to be real and it needs to be genuine. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Yes, your love needs to be real. It needs to be genuine love. Because sometimes in religious structures, you'll go into these certain places and they'll love bomb you when you first walk in. Oh, a new recruit. And they're so nice to you. So sweet. But if you say anything that they disagree with, or you try to share God's word with them and they don't like it, all of a sudden they're mean, ugly, and nasty to you. They change just like that. We need to make sure that we are genuine. Real, genuine Christians. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. There is a lot of evil in this world right now. And we are instructed to abhor it. And that, by the way, is why I don't subscribe to Netflix. Because they have so much evil on that service right now. And I know that because I read the news and they talk about it sometimes. And I read reviews sometimes. But I'm not going to subscribe to that filthy service. They're very anti-God. Of course, they say, well, we'll put anything on it. That's the problem. They will put anything on there. They put witchcraft programs on there. They put things I don't even want to talk about on there. And they even have that show, Lucifer. A show called Lucifer. It had originally been on Fox. It got canceled, but Netflix saved it. Well, we're going to renew that. You know, people need their Lucifer fix. No, they don't. That's the last thing people need. But there is a lot of evil in this world, and we are to abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Cleave to what is good. Hang on tight to what is good, what you know to be good. Hang on to this word. Hang on to the Lord Jesus and don't ever let go. Remember, He'll never let go of you. So if you find yourself feeling separated from God, He's not the one who moved. Verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Now the way the Christian church is supposed to function, the ideal, is that in a Christian church, everyone looks at every other person as being better than themselves. And if we can do that, if we can all do that, we are going to have a well-functioning, Spirit-filled church. Praise the Lord. Verse 11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And that's a good trait for a Christian too. If you have a job, do it the very best you can. You know, I hear about it so many times, bosses complain because they have employees who just up and quit one day. Sometimes they don't even tell the boss that they're quitting. They just stop showing up for work. It's become a very common thing in this world. And in other cases, they might go to work and they're supposed to be working and they're playing around on their smartphones. You see all kinds of things like that. But this verse tells us to be not slothful in business. If you have a job, do it to the very best of your ability. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer.
Yes, we have to be patient in tribulation. Paul knew there would be tribulation, and there's tribulation right now. People like to talk about a 7-year tribulation. There's tribulation right now. And there could very well be more of it very soon. But this verse tells us to be patient in tribulation, while also rejoicing in hope and continuing instant in prayer. That's why it's important to pray, because if you pray, you'll be able to rejoice in hope and be patient in tribulation. It builds up your joy as well as your patience. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. And what he's really telling us to do here is to empathize with others. Put yourself in their shoes. Try to understand their plight, their troubles, and where they're coming from as best that you possibly can. And if people need help, we should help them if we can. Verse 16, be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you. Live peaceably with all men. That could be hard. That can be a tough order sometimes. And as I've mentioned before, sometimes people may not allow you to live peaceably with them. But it should never be our fault. We need to do the best we can to live peaceably with others. And if people just refuse to live peaceably with you, try to separate yourself from their company as much as you possibly can. I know sometimes it's not possible if it's a coworker or a family member, but if people just refuse to live peaceably with you, try to get away from them if possible. Verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. People love revenge, don't they? They sure do make a lot of movies about that, don't they? Revenge movies. And it appeals to human nature. But here, the Apostle Paul is telling us to rise above our own human nature. We don't have to avenge ourselves. We don't have to seek revenge. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. He will take care of it. Every wrong that anyone has ever done you, the Lord will take care of. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. You know, it's easy to be kind to people who are nice to you. It's a little more difficult to be kind to people who are mean to you, people who might even act like your enemy. I recall, you know, there have been times when I've gone out to eat at a restaurant and sometimes you just get terrible, terrible, horrible service. That's happened on more than one occasion. I remember one time I was eating at a restaurant with my sister and the service was so bad and my sister was saying, we shouldn't even leave a tip. But you know what? I did anyway. In fact, I always do. Because that, I'm just trying to be kind and they may not necessarily deserve it. And maybe they don't deserve that tip. And maybe they'll find that tip later and scratch their head wondering why you left a tip when service was so bad. And maybe they'll get them thinking. They might even feel bad about it. Which is good. Sometimes we need to feel bad about certain things. But when you're nice to people who aren't nice to you, when you're good to people who aren't good to you, it's like heaping coal of fire on their head because they're not going to understand why or how you can be that way, and it's going to drive them nuts. It's going to drive them bonkers. But verse 21 tells us, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Those are your two options. You're either going to be overcome of evil or you're going to overcome evil with good. Those are your choices. And if we're going to overcome evil with good, we need the Lord's help. Praise God. I see the yellow light is on already, and it seems like I just started. So I had more places I wanted to go to. I'm going to just take a couple of minutes, and that's probably all I have, and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I just want to quickly read as much of this as I can because this is an important chapter. It talks about the love that we should have for one another. It talks about a very specific kind of love called charity, which is a giving love, agape love, love that asks nothing in return. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. For though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. In other words, Paul is saying you can do all these good things, but it's not going to profit you at all if you're not doing it out of love. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. You see, this is a special kind of love. This is charity. This is agape love. And I love that the King James Version uses the word charity here because it defines what kind of love it is. Most other versions just say love, but this is far more precise. Verse 8, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. People get confused about these verses, but what this is referring to, there's going to be tongues and prophecy and the gifts, the spiritual gifts of God up until the time He comes back. But then that which is perfect, meaning Jesus has come, then those things will cease because we won't need them anymore. We're going to be in heaven. But you know what will still exist even in eternity? Charity. That special love, which we will share with one another, and in fact, we will share with the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Verse 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. There's a lot we don't know. There's a lot we can't see right now. But it will all become clear in eternity. When we behold that which is perfect. Face to face. Verse 13, and now abide faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. Oh yes. It will last. And we need to be kind one to another. I see the yellow light is still on. There's just a few verses in Titus I want to read quickly. Titus chapter 3. I hate to go so quickly, but I am running out of time. Titus chapter 3. We're going to begin with verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometime foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. And I've said this before, yes, they may hate you as a Christian, but just remember something, they hate each other as well. That's the condition of people who do not know the Lord Jesus. Yes, we need to be filled with His agape love, with charity. But this is how we were, and hopefully, verse 4 is going to talk about how we are. Verse 4, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. No one has ever done anything as kind to you as the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of Him, we have the promise of eternal life. He makes us alive. He gives us His Spirit. He gives us that Holy Ghost. And if you have His Holy Ghost living in your heart right now, that should fill you with His charity. And as such, we need to remember to be kind, because there are a lot of people right now who aren't being kind, and there's a great void of kindness right now. So just remember to be kind. And Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 through 32 tell us, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
Praise God.
Oh yes, we need to be kind. And guess what? That is a command. That's a command in the Word of God. It's not optional. Be ye kind one to another. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We thank Thee, Lord, for all that Thou hast done. And we pray, Lord, that Thou would fill us with Thy love, with Thy charity, and help us, O God, to be kind one to another. We pray, Lord, that Thou would help us to be mindful of Thy Word. Help us, O God, to be shining lights in a lost and dying world. And help us, O God, to reach out to others. We know that people are in dire straits right now. We know that people are in lots of trouble. We know that there will be many opportunities to show kindness to others, Lord, and help us, O God, to rise to the occasion when those occasions come to us, Lord. We pray, Lord, that Thou would be with Thy people, watch over Thy people, protect Thy people from all illness, from every disease. We pray, Lord, that Thou keep us safe from coronavirus and COVID as well that has been going around. Watch over Thy people, Lord. And we pray for those who have already contracted it. We ask for swift recoveries, Lord. Be with Thy people. Help Thy people. Lift them up, we pray. And we ask this in Jesus' name through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Glory to God. We're going to open our hymnals, our Melodies of Praise hymnals. We're going to sing a song in closing. Praise God. Number 42 in the hymnal, Oh, to be like Thee. Number 42.
Like Thee, blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, my perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like Thee, oh, to be like Thee, blessed Redeemer. Here as Thou art, come in Thy sweetness, come in Thy fullness, stamp Thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like Thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender and kind, helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering sinner to find. Oh, to be like Thee, oh, to be like Thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as Thou art. Come in Thy sweetness, come in Thy fullness, stamp Thy image deep in my heart. Oh, to be like Thee. Feel, Holy Spirit, holy and harmless, patient and brave, glory in cruel reproaches, willing to suffer, others to save, oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed be pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, speak thy own image deep in my heart. Oh, to be like thee, Lord, I am coming, not to receive that adorning divine. All that I am and have, I am bringing, Lord, from this moment, all shall be thine. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, loving Redeemer, pure thou art. Come in thy weakness, come in thy fullness, save thy own image, deep in my heart. Oh, to be like thee while I am pleading, pour out thy spirit, fill in thy love. Make me a temple, meet for thy dwelling, fit me for thy healing above. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed be here, pure thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stand in the image deep in my heart. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed be Redeemer, dear in thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stand in the image deep in my heart. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord again. We are dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.